Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Now, I need you all for a project. James Jeffries, a friend of Robert's, is sponsoring Dumpty Dum. He is very nearly as clever as Robert, and actually slightly more creative. He builds prototypes for the web and does some amazing things with data for arts and culture. In fact, I may ask him to work on the Village website if I can loosen Jennifer's grip on the thing. He's worked with all the best people, you know. The BBC Research and Development team, creating interactive story explorers for Homefront and Peaky Blinders. For the London Philharmonic Orchestra, creating a prototype of a searchable archive of their historic performances. Once, he even built some tweeting receipt printers for a Ville Drummond exhibition. Now, that's the kind of innovation we need for the Village show. So if you'd like to talk to him about your project idea, you could get in touch with him at Robert, what's his email address? James@shedcode.co.uk. That's James@shedcode.co.uk. Or you could have a browse of his website, shedcode.co.uk. Do tell him I was looking for him if you see him, won't you? I want him to design me a digital resurgence stone.
It's time for me to say this is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the spontaneous one-night stand that is Royfield Smug Brown. And with me are the unplanned, so wrong person that is
Lucy Abashed Freeman.
And the last part of our next generation of the Archers, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum comes from Lucas, Juno and Erica. Thank you for your Dumpty Dum, Lucas, Juno and Erica. Now, yeah. Lucy.
Yes.
If somebody would like to join Lucas, Juno and Erica in sending in a Dumpty Dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction or rhyme signal with single, Kerry Davis, then ring us on 02030313105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups, to Shedcode for sponsoring us, and to Derek for the loan of the back bedroom. Derek had a very enjoyable Christmas. He went to Auntie Cardboard's for Christmas lunch. She cooked from Delia's Christmas, but Derek said there's nothing beats a good stuffing by Nigel Slater.
Yay! On this week's episode, we have me being smug, followed by me being correct.
Yeah.
And then I'll just like
and
chill
me being
out.
Wrong. Wrongity, wrong.
Now, also on this week's episode, as well as
the site's back. That's very exciting. Sorry, the website's back.
It is. And
short time only, folks. Enjoy it while you've got it.
No. Well, this is something which I will talk about later on. But we are paying a shed load. And that's not through shed code. But we are paying a shed load to keep this thing up. And so it's going to force us to be very grown up in our money rattling tin collections, folks. So be warned, but we'll talk about that later. On this week's episode, we have calls from Paul Room, who needs a slap in the chops. Oh, what you like, Paul. Dan John the Seventh, who's not amused. Catherine Rowan Jones, who would like the Disappeared to reappear in 2017. Claire Page, who's learnt a lesson. Yokel Bear, who's not a Dalek. Dusty Substances, who will be outside the post office. Moinus, who's glad Emma Grundy's gone to space. And Andrew Horn, who thinks Kerry deserves the clap. But first, before all of that, I'm just going to bask in my rightness and say, it's Lucy V. Freeman's week in Ambridge.
The Ambridge show was all in rhyme. The writers had a fit. Linda had a stressful time, convinced it would be rubbish. Over at Bridge Farm on Christmas Day, Henry got an orange, a little spinny thing, and an appointment with a child development specialist. At Rickyard, Toby had bought a reduced to clear chicken and burned the potatoes. It made Pipple nostalgic for Ruth's cooking. At the stables, Shula and Alistair were still love's middle-aged dream. Shula bought Alistair a box set of Gardener's World, the hilarious bloopers, and he bought her a ball gag. At Brooker's, Ruth was trying to get some sense into Jill. "Now look, Jill, this has got to stop," said Ruth. "I don't know what you mean," said Jill airily, writing "Toby is a bum flap" on the kitchen whiteboard. Over at Lower Loxley, Elizabeth said she had worked all day and was so tired she thought, "Elizabeth, you deserve a treat. I have filed 3 pieces of paper, 2 people rang me up, and some delivery men took me up the orangery," she said. "I'm exhausted." Auntie Lillian had given her a bolstering chat about men. And as we know, if anyone knows anything about being successful with men, it's Lillian. What with her long history of unfaithful toy boys, unfaithful jailbirds, and unfaithful fascists. She's quite the Mariella Frostrup. Anyway, Elizabeth trotted off to the ball, determined to pull like a bell ringer. Sadly, though, it seemed marginally too late, as by the time she got there, Debbie was having a look down Richard Locke's stethoscope and Tracy Horribin had Roy Tucker in a headlock. However, I shall forgive Debbie anything for her spectacular put-down of Titchy Knob, which made me clap. At Home Farm, Kate was trying to finish making all the costumes for the village fete. Did I miss something here? I come from a family of very talented dressmakers and knitters and crocheters and all that, and I have to use a staple gun to attach buttons, largely because sewing is really, really bloody hard. Kate volunteered to design and make all the costumes with absolutely no training or know-how whatsoever. One minute she was being taught how to use a sewing machine, the next she was zipping away, making up a fairy dress. A sewing machine is marginally more complicated than the control desk of the Kennedy Space Center. It took me the whole summer term in the fourth year to make a lavender bag, and then the bottom fell out. How Kate, who is neither intelligent nor tenacious, was threading the thing and clattering away without hemming her sleeve to her own hair, I will never know. The Boxing Day hunt was the usual riot it always is. Lillian and Justin jogged along side by side. "This is a good opportunity," said Justin. "I thought I felt my phone buzz earlier, so shove it down your jodhpurs, Lillian." Toby sodded off to Brighton again for another mystery jaunt. Where does he go? Why does he go? Who does he go? Why do we care? But the most amazing news was, and now I know this shook us all to the core, the show turned out all right. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really thought it wasn't going to come all right out all right this time. And I mean, Linda thought it wasn't going to come out all right this time. And even some of the cast thought it might not come out all right this time, especially when one of the cast was unable to make it and someone had to step in at the last moment. Goodness me, I was on tenterhooks. But the big news is that after Tom and Krusty's sausage roll back in the summer, they're now having a little scotch egg. Hurrah! The end.
That thing about sewing really got you exercise, didn't it?
It did. I'm loath to be wildly sexist here. I suspect a man may have
steady with what you're about to say about males being behind a sewing machine, because I've got a story to tell you, but go.
I'm not going to be sexist, I'll be Kerryist. I think he wrote that, and I don't think he's ever been near a sewing machine. It's so difficult. It's not something that you can just start, because everybody would need to be pinned in. You couldn't just make them and then bring them to the show And then off they put them on and off they walk onto the stage. You have to be pinned into them. They have to be sewn up. You have to put all the zips in. They're a nightmare. It's just not anything. I think anybody that listened to that, that could sew, would be thinking, that's ridiculous.
You know what? You are right. To sew is not very easy, let alone for someone who's never done it before and who needs to take measurements of the actors. So you need to, you know, draft patterns, do measurements, sew in a straight line when needs be, which is for the most part, the most of sewing needs to be done in a straight line. It's not an easy thing to be done. And you're completely right. You need to have fittings and all of that. So you are correct. But you didn't half go on about it. I just thought you were belabouring the point when there are other things you could have been referring to that happened last week.
Do you mean possibly the Scotch egg?
No.
What then?
Well, I thought something quite momentous happened last week in the Archers. But maybe I was wrong, Lucy.
You mean Kirsty and Tom having a Scotch egg?
Well, is that what a pregnancy is referred to nowadays?
Well, it is when one of them's a sausage, yes.
Hmm. Now, why would you devote...
Are you trying to just get me to say...
No, why yes, would you devote, Royfield. Lucy? No, no, Lucy, Lucy, right, Lucy, Lucy. Why would you devote yes, 3 minutes of your fantastic monologue to sewing?
Didn't forget it. It was in the last paragraph.
Did you... Were you contrite enough, though?
Probably not. I don't really do contrite, do I?
Is that your Lucy privilege?
I ought to have had enough sodding practice, I tell you.
Well, yes, it's Lucy privilege, isn't it? Just yeah, never admit when you're wrong.
Israeli, never apologise or explain.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to know something from my deep and distant past?
What?
I was the only yeah, boy that did needlework as a CSE in the whole of the Midlands.
Oh, you told me this before. Well, you told Dumpty Dum this before.
Have I?
Yeah.
I best pass on then.
Keep moving.
So I know how hard sewing is, but then I'll move on. Right then. So, being as I'm quite smug this week, what privileges does that get me in hosting this show?
You get to do all the bits written in black and I get to do all the bits written in red. How about that?
That's just the way that it normally goes, Lucy. I feel I should have a special prize. I should have some fillip in my cap because of the fact that I called this so right.
Well, funnily enough, we do have two special prizes this week.
Do we?
For special listeners, yes. But you can't have them. I've decided. they are
yes,
3 CDs called The Death of Grace Archer.
Ooh.
And we've actually got two sets of them. Mm-hmm. And it features Eleanor Tomlinson, Simon Russell Beale, Isanne Churchman, who was the original Grace,
yep,
John Fulshaw, Pam Ferris, and Miles Jupp. It delves deep into the Archer's archives to reveal the truth about why Grace had to die. That's the 2015 radio play Dead Girls yeah, Tell No Tales. But then the two more other CDs in here are retrospectives from September 1955, which features the fateful night of Grace's demise, as well as 1986 and 1987, in which the residents of Ambridge, including Jill, Walter, me old pal, me old booty, Tom, Sheila and Christine, gather at Christmas and remember events of the past. Now, if you would like to win this, you have to answer one of Shedcode's fiendish questions.
Go on then. What's the question?
Which one of Peggy Woolley's cats died?
Oh, crumbs.
She had Bill and Ben.
Mm-hmm.
One of them died.
Oh, so you got a 50-50 chance of getting it right.
You have.
Okay. Because that's not an easy question.
I shouldn't have said the names, should I?
we'll be deluged with entries now. And I reckon some smart people hedge their bets, won't they? And submit too. Okay,
edit that bit out. Right, so the question is, which one of Peggy Woolley's cats died?
Mm. But oh God, she was really upset, wasn't she? It's all coming back to me now. Yeah, it was about 3 years ago or so.
Now, well, we must say these prizes come courtesy of Derek Fletcher. But don't worry, we will sponge them down before we send them.
So basically, I get nothing for being right, for calling
it. You get smugness and I can't stop you. So that surely is reward enough.
Right. It'll have to do then, won't it? It's not much, but it'll have to do. Right. So why don't we go on to our caller inners?
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who's first, Lucy?
First, we have Paul Room.
There's a world where I can go and tell my secrets to. In my room, in my room.
Happy New Year to everyone. I wanted to call in about Kirsty's not such a surprise pregnancy when this was announced and all the mutual Twitter backslapping that's occurred, because I do remember all this, and Cosmo called it first 3 months ago at the end of September. And I hate to be one of these people who say I told you so, because I can't stand that. But I told you so, because I called in the following week, as it was obvious when Kirsty was talking to Helen, saying she had a lot to learn about babies. And also Roy asked Helen one morning if she was okay, because she looked a bit peaky. And then more recently, on the 19th of December, I thought, well, this is definitely a pregnancy, when at the Calendar Girls party, Kirsty turned down a camembert tartlet. That, well, surely that's you know, no soft cheese, because she's pregnant. And hey ho, that happened. Anyway, it made me look back at the dum-de-dums and a couple of little snippets from getting slapped down by Lucy for suggesting such a pregnancy. And Roy Field, who I do think rather sat on the fence, but I'll give him his continued thinking that this was where the plot was going.
No. Kirsty is a very sensible woman, and she's dating, and she wouldn't just presume. We shouldn't just presume that she's not taking any.
Listen,
any.
Luce, I'm not saying that she is. I'm not saying that she isn't.
Kirsty is not pregnant. Not. Or if she did, she doesn't know she is. So all that. Oh, I've got a lot to learn about babies. No. Yes, she's not pregnant, is she, Royf? Reassure me that she's not pregnant.
I don't know, and it's in the lap of the gods, the script writing gods.
Paul, is it not bad enough that I got it wrong without you recording me getting it wrong and then playing it back to everybody? Goodness sake.
Well, it has to be said, one thing I will completely concede is that Cosmo said it way back when. Paul Room did say it. And I think it's interesting that the first people who actually said it were geezers, were blokes. Yeah. I don't know, right? But that, you know, what if there's any link there? And then I sat down, and it wasn't the fact that they said it that I thought I believe this to be true. It's the whole Nuffield thing. And I completely even missed that at the Calendar Girls, she didn't have a drink. I didn't understand that to be explained to me, the whole unpasteurized milk thing, unpasteurized cheese. That had to be explained to me. And when it was explained to me, I went, well, you know, she definitely is up the duff then. But for me, it was completely and utterly the whole Nuffield thing.
Right.
So it was, why would you have this character come back after going away to Canada and then you're going to send him away again? You're just creating the tension. So that he ultimately, when he needs to go, he doesn't want to go. That for me was the giveaway. So there were the clues on the macro level and also on the micro level, and I missed them completely on the I'm feeling a little bit peaky this morning. But it was the wider plot points for me, and also Mr. Room, right? considering me and you are homies, we're brothers from another mother and all of that, right? You have completely seemed to have forgotten the times when I said that it was the Nuffield thing on Dumpty Dum, and then got me on the point when Lucy pinned me literally up against the wall and said, she's not pregnant. And I did slightly waver. I did slightly waver. And especially, was it about 2 weeks ago? You said, well, come on, you know, it's like 12 weeks. You didn't quite say 12 weeks, but you said it's been months now and she's not pregnant. And I kind of half wavered again. I went, well, you know, but yeah, the trial was September. So, you know, the maths did all add up, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's all this, Juicy Loose, about Kirsty? Oh, she's a modern woman. She wouldn't forget to take her precautions. What's all that about then?
Well, she could. I mean, they're not infallible, are they? So she could well have taken them. And because someone actually tweeted me afterwards and said there's no such thing as 100%, you know, sure contraception. So for all we know, she could have. He could have been trussed up like one of like a fair brother turkey. But it got through. The Archer sperm won out.
How old is Kirsty?
I don't know. I'd imagine about 30-ish.
Isn't she about mid-30s? Isn't she supposed to be... well, Tom's older than... No, Tom isn't older than Helen. Tom's the youngest, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And Helen's definitely mid-30s. So, okay. So you'd presume that Kirsty's going to be round about 30, early 30s.
Yeah.
Why is it that there needed to have been a malfunction of the prophylactic or of the contraceptive used? I just think she weren't using anything. Surely there would have been some, bearing in mind that we were led in the dark and this was the Christmas reveal, wasn't it? The seasonal reveal was actually that she was pregnant.
Mm.
But the older women are when they are got to be somewhat careful here now, right? But women after a certain age who
they're less likely to get pregnant in the first time.
Well, they're less likely to get pregnant, and if they haven't had a child, and they're up for the idea of motherhood, even if it's just in the back of their mind, they kind of take
you're not
more
saying
risks.
She's done it deliberately.
No, I'm not saying that she deliberately got up the duff. I'm not saying that she...
clanger. Use the correct terminology.
Okay, all right. I'm not saying she deliberately got herself up clanger, right? But what I am saying is she thought, I'm in the moment with Tom. If it happens, it happens, and I'll just deal with it. I think that's it, because she is in love with Sausage Boy. She's in love with him, he's in love with her, and this is just a classic soapy tropey device, and I mean that in the nicest possible way, because I want them to be together.
Oh, no, they will get together. At the moment, though, he knows he's in love with Kirsty, but she doesn't know she's in love with him.
She does. And she's just saying, I now have the power. To use a Lucyism, because you always talk about somebody having the power, she has the power now over Tom. You know, Tom literally, he didn't destroy her, but he absolutely crushed her with what he did at the wedding. And
I thought that was quite funny when Kenton said that at the rehearsal, when he said, where is Kirsty? Why isn't she here? And he said, well, maybe she's going to turn the tables and not bother turning up for their wedding. I thought for Kenton, that was quite good.
she's got the whip hand now completely. And I mean that in a way which I don't see as being evil or malicious per se, but she knows that Tom, through all of his self-centered, solipsistic nonsense before with his ready meals and his sausages, that Tom is old Tom. This is a much more centered and grounded Tom. Mm. She knows that he does actually love her, but he's a bit of an idiot. Mm. And she is in the whip hand.
Mm.
1 minute there. Hello. Oh, One minute there, Lucy. It looks like it's tea break.
Thanks, Dad. When I finish this, I'll do dinner. Yeah? You alright, Dad?
Yeah. He sounds rough. Is he alright?
Yeah. He's doing that old man clearing his throat thing.
Oh, okay.
But they decided to do it as he opened the door for maximum effect, then. finish eating my cracker. I had my camp coffee break early this week.
And a cracker. Camp and a cracker.
And then a nice bit of blue cheese as well. Rather lovely.
Oh, lovely.
Rather lovely. Who's next?
Catherine Rowan Jones is next.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Catherine Rowan Jones in High Wycombe, 88 Ivy Fox on the Twitters, the volunteer summariser for the Ravenry website. Thank you for everyone who makes Dumpty Dum possible. Happy New Year to you all. What's been going on in my head? I've been in suspense all over Christmas, waiting for Rob to pop up like a knob in the box or Jack in the box. Gideon in the box. The suspense is... What I'd like to see in 2017, I really like some of the disappeared to reappear. Perhaps now the storyline that shall not be mentioned is over. Maybe some of them can come back. Especially I'd like Kathy and Jamie Perks, so we can get another view of what's going on in Pat's head. And the Tucker clan, not just Mike and Vicky and Bethany, but also Hayley and Abby and Brenda, because we've just got Roy in isolation. And if we want to know more about what's going on in Roy's head, then his family would be a good place to start finding out. Love to you all. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Catherine, I am so with you. I spent the whole of Christmas and New Year, not the whole of it, because that would be a bit weird, but every time I listened to The Archers, waiting for Rob to pop up. I thought that inflatable Santa that they found outside Henry's house had been left there by Rob. Every time anyone knocked on the door, any time there was something weird. Who? I can hear a car out. I was thinking, it's him! I was a nervous wreck by New Year's Day. And he was happily away in Hampshire eating toad in the hole and turkey, wasn't he? So... I don't know. Yes, I think I needed to calm down by New Year's Day because I'd got myself in a state. And I think that your mission to get the disappeared back, we got Tracy. Or if for those that haven't heard, you get to hear Tracy Horobin this week. And we also got a mention of Kathy back from the dead.
We did, didn't we?
A present delivered to Pat from Kathy. So, yes, it could all be happening. I just want Vicky back. Don't care about the others, really. I miss Vicky. Claire Page is next.
Hello, this is Claire Page, Tweeting Frog on the Twitters, and I'm a second-time caller in error. I didn't do my introduction properly last time because my first call was after a semi-sleepless night after stabbing of someone I won't name. I live in France. I first listened to The Archers properly in 1989. The first plot line I remember was Brian coming out of hospital. He'd had an epileptic fit after being attacked by a mad cow, and because there was someone with epilepsy in my family, I took an interest in that. But there were other good storylines, and I've listened ever since. So I don't know what character that makes me, because I don't know who was new in 1989. Back to the subject for today's call. I've learned a valuable lesson since last Friday's episode of The Archers, and that is I mustn't disbelieve the plot predictions the Dumpty Dummers come up with. Some of you have been saying for a while that Kirsty must be pregnant. I refuse to believe it. And then, of course, she announced it on Friday and taught me a valuable lesson. Don't disbelieve plot predictions, because you never know whether they're going to come true. So some are crazy, pretty unlikely, but this one turned out to be true. And it'll be interesting to see whether Tom and Kirsty actually get together properly in the end. I mean, Tom's already taking an interest. He was worried when he didn't see Kirsty on New Year's Eve, but we just have to see how things go on. And I do hope they get back together after some not so nice things happening. It'll be good to see Tom and Kirsty back together, but we'll see what the script writers make of this story. Anyway, that's enough rambling from me for now, and I'm looking forward to hearing the show. the podcast when it comes out. Bye for now.
Yes, Claire, if we pursue that line of thought, that makes you a mad cow. So let's not assume that's what you are. She's right. Never disbelieve a Dumpty Dumber. And particularly do not believe me, because I swore blind she was not. She is. So, yes. What are the more outlandish? Well, maybe, see, maybe if that's correct, maybe now we've literally opened the culvert. So who else? Who knows what else? Stefan's bloated body will be discovered propping up the RSJ at Grange Farm. Maybe. Who knows? Yokel Bear, or Yogurt Bear, as Derek referred to him when they were having their little chat last night.
Hello, it's Yokel Bear here, calling from the rolling hills of Yokelshire, which are covered in frost this morning. Yes, first of all, last week, presenting the podcast, oh, that was really scary, but kind of fun, and huge apologies. sounded a bit like Darth Vader. I had my mic way too close to my mouth, so close it was almost an internal examination. And also, I was getting over a really heavy cold, so my breathing was a bit all over the place. So, apologies, lessons have been learnt. Should I ever, you know, present again? Basically, don't put the mic right up next to your mouth. So, anyway, lessons learned. Right, on with the call. Kirsty, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, so predictable. Yeah, they're going to get back together. Yada, yada, yada. But let's talk about Brighton, shall we? Because they've been teasing us with Brighton, haven't they, for ages. What's happening down there? There's lots of theories going around. I think a lot of people have jumped to the conclusion that, you know, it might be a gay thing. Maybe Toby is bi. Who knows? Because of Brighton and the kind of, you know, the demographics of Brighton. But I don't think that's the case. I think quite simply, I think as simple as this, he's got a kid. And there is some kind of need for him to go down there now and again. Not sure why. And I don't know, but perhaps I'm wrong, because on the other hand, maybe, you know, obviously maybe he's paying maintenance and there's been no evidence of that, but then again, he does seem a bit loose with the money, so I don't know. But I think this is all going to come out in the next couple of weeks, hopefully anyway, because you can't tease us anymore, for God's sake, script writers. So yes, but my guessing is I'm nailing my flag for the mast and saying he's got a kid. There you go. That's what I think. Anyway. Okay. That's it for me. Okay. Bye.
I am your father.
No. It's not true. That's impossible.
Yes, I think you're right. I think it's a child. I think Toby has got visiting rights for this child and he doesn't do it. And that's another reason why Rex is so despising of him. He doesn't go and bother to visit the child very often. And he's having to fork over money. I mean, quite rightly. But that's what the problem is, because why he never has any money and why his situation generally seems to be so unstable is because half his money and half his time is being spent in Brighton visiting his little offspring. And I think it's a boy, because he said, oh, it's a boy thing, you can't come, Pip, it's a boys thing, boys only thing. Ooh, or something.
That could well be the case, though before we did speculate that it was community service of some sort, though, didn't we? Because
he wouldn't be at a weekend then.
True that. Well done, Freeman. You might be right about this. About the little things, and I'm right about the big things. Have you ever noticed that?
I'm right about the things that don't matter a jot.
Exactly.
And you're right about the gigantic storylines that are going to change those things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should we do Dusty Substances now?
Why not? The only one who could ever reach
me was the son of a preacher man. Hello, it's Dusty Substances, the wrong sort of listener. Happy New Year to everyone. Big thank you to Terry and Tim and Andrew and Yokel Bear and Witherspoon and Millie Bell for some fantastic festive season podcasts. I'd like to say hello to Catherine from Strawberry Hill. Look out for me outside the post office. My thing at the moment is that I'm really thrilled that Kirsty is pregnant, but what I want her to do is to absolutely go it alone, so we have a contrast with Helen. Unlike Helen, Kirsty didn't intend to get pregnant. Helen gave everyone the impression that she was being strong, feisty and independent, but actually she was none of those things, which made her really so vulnerable to the likes of Rob and all that happened after that. Kirsty, I think, actually is strong and independent, and I'd love to see her follow through, not get sucked into a marriage with the sausage baron, which I think would just be horrendous for her. I think she could do this. I really do. And a question for all of us this year is, could Kaz be the new Hayley on so many levels? I look forward to exploring that possibility. Anyway, thank you for a lovely year. I look forward to another lovely year listening to everyone being wonderful. And I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
She'll be outside the post office, all right? Yes. I think Kirsty will start off going it alone, but I think there is, as Jeeves would say, the grim inevitability of Greek tragedy, that she will get back together with Thomas, won't she? Sausage boy. It'll take a while, though. I don't think she trusts him enough.
I don't know, right? If there's a realistic human arc to this, it won't be that as she's pushing out the little nipper, Tom will burst into the delivery room. If this was real and true to life, when she's going for antenatal classes, she'll go to that first one, and she's not going to be the only woman on her own. But my God, those couples can be smug there. Like, look at us, we're having our first baby. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
You know what? Number one, Tom will be saying, can I come, can I come, can I come?
Yeah.
By session number three with that middle class smugness.
Tom had said that a bit more often at the time. She couldn't be in this mess, but anyway.
That's quite a good gag there, Lucy. By session number three, she will want to join in with the smugness and say, I've got a partner too.
Yeah.
She absolutely will.
Yeah. Buenas.
Hello, it's Diane here, Moana's on the Twitters. Anyway, skipping over Royfield's no doubt smug gloating about getting it right about Kirsty being pregnant, wanted to talk about one of the Archer's alumni, Felicity Jones. How good is she in Rogue One? We cannot ignore this fact. It's absolutely brilliant, and it's great to see the former Emma Grundy doing so well in Hollywood.
If my father built this thing, we need to find him.
All right. How many do I need?
They are requesting a call sign. It's, Rogue. Rogue One.
The power that we are dealing with here is immeasurable.
If the Empire has this kind of power, what chance do we have?
We have hope. Rebellions are built on hope.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I'm just far more excited about Star Wars than I am on the Archers at the moment. Anyway, take care. Love to you, Royfield. Love to you, Lucy. Bye.
Felicity Jones on Rogue One. Have you seen it?
I have.
And is she very good?
She's a consummate actor, and she doesn't have the force, but she leads the rebels, and she self-sacrifices, and she's a Brummie to boot.
Well, there you go. You see, that's Emma to a T.
Mm.
She self-sacrifices. She hasn't got the force, but she leads everybody, and she's learning it. Perfect.
I did watch it. Also, James Moores on the Twitters said, Darth Vader didn't do a lot on Rogue One. Happy to hear him on Dum-de-Dum. well done, Yokel Bear.
Yes, sorry, Yoko Bear and Andrew Horn. I haven't actually listened because I have literally been in bed coughing for a long time. But I will listen. But all the things that everyone said has been lovely, that they really, really enjoyed it when you did it. So I will listen, and then I'm sure I will give you my congratulations as well. And thank you so much for stepping into the Christmas breach. You're very kind.
Yes.
Do a very good job.
I think Yoko Bear, you might need to go down to the doctors and have that checked out, though. So. have we done the calls?
We've got Andrew Horn.
Oh, all right.
Greetings, Earthlings. Andrew Horn here. I wasn't going to call in today, but I have two things I do want to say. First of all, thank you, everyone, who's left such positive feedback about the episode that Mark and I did. It was good fun, and so glad you loved it, despite the difficulties we had with the sound. And the other is, I just want to say, as I'm sure lots of others have, is how wonderful Uncle God Kerry's scripts have been this week. Doing the crossover between all the panto verse and the dialogue and the hidden meanings, it's been a real joy, particularly Kirsty's revealing that she had a feeling deep inside. So no surprises. Hashtag Kirsty is preggers. Anyway, speak to you again soon. Hope you're having a lovely new year. Bye.
Who says, well done, Kerry. The scripts have been very good, but my God, he must have bust a gut doing all those rhyming couplets.
Mm.
I tried to do some. I was going to attempt to do the whole monologue in rhyming couplets, and I got three in, had a drink, did one more, and then thought, oh, this is awful, and I just gave it up. It's so hard, because you can't do punchlines, because you've got to keep faffing around with flipping. You're sort of shoehorning punchlines in that aren't funny just because they rhyme. It's terrible. So well done, Kerry. My God, I bet you were bloody thrilled when you discovered that Linda was going to do it as a rhyming couplet thing. But yes, the scripts have been lovely. And I like the way Kirsty wasn't. I agree. I like the way Kirsty wasn't coy at all when she told Tom. She just said, I'm just going to come right out and say it. I'm having a baby and it's your baby. And that's that. There was none of this, you know.
I thought that was a little bit of genius. But it was just like she was just telling him that she changed the tyres on her car.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I've got a new mobile number.
Yeah. And he just went, oh, have you? You know, what model phone have you got now or whatever? Yeah. So, oh, Samsung. Oh, nice. All right. Smashing. You know, and I appreciate he was somewhat in shock. But I'm saying I thought that was script writing genius in that they underplayed it, considering that we all thought there was going to be massive fireworks.
Yeah.
At Christmas, and you know there was the inflatable Santa,
that was part of her kind of in terms of that actual bit of dialogue, that was part of her, the control thing that you were talking about earlier. It was her saying, this is not your thing, this is my thing. I am pregnant, I am having a baby, it is your baby, but more, it is mine, and you know, I am telling you because I'm a decent person. And she doesn't let him, or she won't, she hasn't, and she doesn't seem to be now letting him sort of take over or get carried away or kind of interfere at all. She's being very controlled and very kind of in command of herself, which is ace.
Mm.
Which is what we'd expect, wouldn't we, from Kirsty?
Well,
that's the kind of girl she is. Oh, now we've had an email from...
Good heavens. We don't get many of them anymore.
We don't. We have from Cosmo, who says, I think he might be feeling a little bit smug as well, you know. Well, I'm pleased to see that my prediction has finally materialised, he says.
Mm-hmm.
It would appear at the moment to be a rerun.
He should have said, I'm pleased to see that my prediction is gestating.
Yes.
Mm.
With Kirsty bringing up the baby's a single mum. Sorry we didn't hear more from Kaz. That's all right, Cosmo. It wasn't your fault. I had hopes of her being tempted to come to the village, working in the farm shop and so on, but it sounded like she has departed. While I happen to think that Jill, yes, I think she's gone. Oh, no, I don't know. While I happen to think Jill is almost entirely right about Toby, I see him very much as the apprentice at Kenton's knee, in the same way that Kenton was apprenticed to Nelson many years ago.
Ooh. He is the
Joker, and I do happen to think that he will not break Pip's heart, but he will take over the comedic entertainment within the Archer family from Kenton. Comedic entertainment, Kenton? He's about as funny as a cup of cold sick, but anyway. And Home Farm, I am with Brian. They are not making any more land. Buy as much as you can afford and build the business. It's what farmers want to do. Brian is wrong to stop the herbal lays. If the new land is poor, then perhaps move the lays around and put the existing lays under maize crops again. But bigger is better. I just wonder if the land could be split so that both Home and Brookfield farms can be larger. That might be an even better outcome. Less financial strain at Home Farm and the chance for Brookfield to develop some additional businesses to feed Pip and Josh and Ben. So perhaps Debbie is right. Of course Debbie is right. Debbie is right about nearly everything in the world. Possibly everything in the world, I wouldn't like to say. But when she said to Titchy Knob, yes, I used to have a boyfriend lady, it was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
I
can even
remember where I was when I heard it. It was great. And I clapped. I was in the middle of Epping Forest.
It only happened about a week ago. Of course you can remember.
No, but you know when you remember, when you know that you'll remember. When you have a reaction to something and it sort of brightens your day up so much, you actually physically remember where you are and what you're doing.
We haven't given her the plaudits which she deserves, really, you know, in terms of that. And that was another great episode and a great scene. And just this bloke who just everyone despises, flailing
exactly
around.
That was why you're standing on your own.
Exactly. And all that. You know, the Secret Santa thing, even Justin saying, I'm surprised you came. You know, I'm surprised you're still. Because remember, Justin doesn't want him to have any social relationships with anyone. Yeah. He doesn't. Yeah. He wants him to be his blunt hand. He doesn't want him there at all.
And also, I cannot express how delighted I am.
I think you can, because you're about to.
That Tamsin Gregg has continued to play Debbie.
Yes.
Because she is such a big actress. She's a brilliant actress and she's such a big actress and so successful. And, you know, she's doing all these Hollywood things, goodness knows what. And she's still coming back to Birmingham and recording and not being too grand for it. And it's just wonderful. And it's part of what makes the Archers so special, I think.
No, it is. It is. It is. Yeah, you know, you're spot on the money. She doesn't have to do this at all. She obviously does it because Shotzi loves the institution of the Archers. And because she has made Debbie her own, she has that flexibility of coming back kind of whenever there is a gap, a hole in her diary and kind of stories are then kind of, you know, kind of put around that. And long may that continue.
I think she has a beautiful voice anyway, but I just think her delivery is amazing. The kind of the wry, the way she deals with Brian, that kind of you can almost hear the eyes rolling, you know, and the sort of she does this kind of benign inquiry that's got a bit of an edge to it when you look under the surface. It's just really lovely. She's ace. Yeah. Anyway, that's the caller inner is, and that's the emailer inner is.
But just before we go, because I ain't finished, right? Ian and Debbie are the two characters who are the conscience and actually are, you know, kind of morally pure, aren't they? They understand things and give you a very clear insight and it really is the writers writing this person kind of without any kind of social bias. So you get, as I said, like with Susan, it's like, well, this is the Daily Mail take on things, you know. With those two characters, there isn't any spin. However, I think that Debbie's wrong about the land. In theory, yes, she's absolutely right. Brian should be careful about the, you know, it's not necessarily the decision to get the land. It's the way that he's going about it and not listening to Adam and the fact that Adam is the future of the farm. But Culvert Gate has got to go somewhere. And we know that geologically there is something up in Ambridge. So that, you know, my prediction, as I said before, is that Justin Elliott knows that this land is hooky and that's the reason why he's getting rid of it.
Yep. And you're probably right, Royfield, and I'm not going to argue with you anymore. And just remember, in case you don't have to be right as about
I
that.
Am wow. right about the big things. I'll just leave you, little lady, to the little things.
Did you just call me little lady?
I did. All right, let's
Little Miss Giggly next.
That's what I should have done if I was on my game.
This is coercive control. I'm reporting you to everybody.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you report me during the ad break? We'll come back the other side and Tweets of the Week. In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
I mean, I was 8 years old, interesting, the same age as the Dragon King's daughter when she comes out of the sea. But what was happening to me when I was 8 years old was that I was at the hands of a paedophile in a classroom for a year. And
awesome, yeah. For me, and I think the reason that I somehow managed to win in the end is that for me, it's about an economy of the three things that bring a song together. Kiss, mouth open like
Catch up with me speaking to friends and interesting people every Friday afternoon on Friday 15, which you can get, of course, from a podcatcher of your choice. I am suitably refreshed from my dad's cup of coffee that he made me and my little cracker. But you know what, Lucy? It feels odd coming from an ad break and not saying, well done, Millie Bell.
Let's say it anyway. Well done, Millie Bell. We love you. Well done.
It was really lovely listening to her chat on the special Yokel Ben Andrew Horn episode, which, of course, I listened to, Lucy.
Yes, I know, because you are a better person than me.
Well, yes.
Over me, basically. Coughing.
But no, Millie, it was lovely to hear you then, and hopefully we'll get you back next week. Show's not the same without her. Show must go on. Lucy, tweets mm-hmm. of the last... Ooh, what are you going to do? 7 days, 14 days? Take your pick.
Oh, I've gone for seven.
All right.
These are mostly about Oh, well, I'll just tell you what they are. Shall I do that? Vincent Murphy said, you cynical Archers fans are going to be sorry when we find Toby's the founder and self-funder of Brighton's only orphaned panda sanctuary. Miranda said, not that, not Justin's Miranda, mm-hmm. or the falling over Miranda, a different one, mm-hmm. Said, so Sausage Boy has had a bonk and thus conceived another twonk. Kenny Higgs said, sorry, Pip, I have to go to Brighton. The mayor called. Apparently they found a woman I haven't banged yet. Ben Johnson, not the one that can run very fast, another one, said, weddings, pregnancies, supermarket contracts, when will Sausage Boy learn to pull out sooner? And Oedipus said, the baby should be called Tweetalong. Perfect. And that is the end of the Twitters.
Ooh, forever? I hope not. Yeah. I hope there's going to be some more Twitters next week.
That sounded a bit fine, didn't it? I didn't mean that.
Okay. Because they are looking at selling it, aren't they?
Are they?
Well, because it's not making any money. It's losing money hand over fist. And actually, its growth in users is absolutely flat. So the speculation is that in 2017, it'll be a Google or somebody, some large online company will actually snap it up and actually make sense out of Twitter. Twitter makes sense as a media, social media platform, but actually as a cash-making business, it doesn't. And one of the key reasons is because it's actually hard to explain succinctly actually what it is. So its kind of take-up growth is actually incredibly poor. Whereas Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook continue to put on users. And you think something like Facebook, there's over 1 billion profiles. You think, well, God, it's got to slow down. Twitter is about a quarter of that at best. And actually, its user engagement is much less. Well, its active user base is actually much less. And that base is not growing. You know, teenagers aren't necessarily on Twitter. It's all us kind of media chatterati folks.
Yeah.
So... yeah.
Yep.
So when you say it's the end of the Twitters, you never know.
That wasn't a prediction. Don't tell me I've got that one wrong as well.
Well, nah. Someone will snaffle it up. Though Vine's gone, though. Talking about social media, bits of social media which are gone. So, you know, you can say that these things actually do just, you know, run into the buffers. Vine didn't make any money either. And they went, nah, let's shut that one down. So,
Anyway. We need to tell people that there is a Dumpty Dum meet up on Thursday the 12th of Jan.
Wait a minute. I wrote that.
I know.
All right. Go on then.
Oh, sorry. But it was in a different colour, so I thought it was meant to be for me.
No, I just forgot to change it to black. But go on. Oh. You read these things much more beautifully than me. You make the event sound much more high-powered and much more elegant than me. They sound like...
might not be high-powered and elegant.
Spitting sawdust when it comes out of my brummy mouth. But go on.
There's a Dumpty Dump meetup on Thursday the 12th of January at 6 p.m. at the Tyneside Bar Cafe, the Tyneside Cinema, 10 Pilgrim Street, Newcastle-upon-Tyne, NE16QG. And that's it. If you would like to go, then go. if you don't want to go, I wouldn't go.
Wow, you should work in marketing, I'm telling you. You know how to sell an event, Freeman.
No, but seriously, if you do want to go, let us know. If you're shy about it, you can even DM us and tell us in secret. And we can put you in touch with the lady who's organising it. And then... you can find out some more details, but otherwise, it's 6 p.m, 12th of January, Tyneside Bar Cafe and Tyneside Cinema, 10 Pilgrim Street in Newcastle.
I think I've been there before. It was rather nice. Yeah. I'm almost positive. I had a rather lovely, God, it was about 6 years ago or so, had a lovely weekend reviewing Swish Hotels up there for my website at the time. Lovely. Really, I love Newcastle. Lovely place. Right, folks, guess what? Website's back up.
Yee-hee!
And I'm going to say this, though there's no specifics. I need to talk to the boss, Lucy, about this off mic, and we need to plan this out properly. But we are going to institute the members-only content at some point this year, and it needs to be sooner rather than later, because yes, the site is back up, but we are having to...
We're filled is now minus a kidney.
Literally. So we're
a bit yellow.
We had to play well, I can't say an absorbent sum, because ultimately the site is up and it is malware free, but we've had to go to a company called SiteLock that give us daily scans of the malware and have actually replaced...
Why do they hate us, Royfield? Why do the Russians hate us?
Well, number one, it's the Azerbaijanis. The Russians is something else. So the Russians were...
How have you pissed off the Azerbaijanis, for crying out loud?
All right, this is how I understand how this stuff works. So we all know there is the internet, and I think a lot of us know that there's a thing called the dark web. And on the dark web is where you go and you...
I got on it by mistake once.
Really?
Yes, I was doing some work for an organisation that deals with the dark web. Mm-hmm. And I, she asked, the client I was working with said... Oh,
who's this, ISIS?
No. I'm a jihadi archers fan.
archers said, extremist.
Can you just look up something quickly for me online? And she didn't have a laptop. She gave me that. I said, yeah, what's the password for the Wi-Fi? And she just reeled off this password and I put it in. Typed in whatever it was she wanted me to look. And a page that didn't look like anything I've ever seen before online came up. Mm-hmm. It was Google results, but not the droids I was looking for. It was just kind of all this. There was a lot of code. There was a lot of Cyrillic alphabet. There was a lot of stuff that just didn't look normal. And I said, oh, I think my laptop's playing up. This doesn't look right. And she suddenly sort of paled and said, oh, sorry, we've lifted the restrictions here. Normally, when we use the internet, we only use 20% of it. There's 80% of it that is dark web that we don't see.
Mm.
And I had logged in because of the password she gave me into the wrong bit. And
did you buy an Uzi? That's what people do on the dark web, don't they?
I couldn't find the archers.
The dark web's not all it's cracked up to be, then, is it? You can't get the archers.
That was a password, didn't work anymore. And my cargo delivery went all to pot.
Well, delivered to somebody in Vladivostok or something.
Anyway, so I do know what is a dark web.
All right. Yes. So, how I believe this stuff actually works is, so on the dark web you can literally order anything, and you can say things like, I want to take down a website, or I want to hack into the DNC's server. That's, you know, you anything goes on the dark web, and because of the very nature of it, people pay for things in Bitcoin, etc., etc. You know, you can't be using a regular credit card on the dark web, because not everything is illegal, but most things are somewhat nefarious at best. So what I believe we've been the victim of is the fact that if you are a hacker, one of the ways in which you advertise how good you are is by taking down websites, legitimate websites, and then whilst they've been hacked, your code is all over that website. So
then, it's like a graffiti tag.
Exactly. So then you turn around on the dark web.
What kind of sad buggers do this, honestly?
Well, it's a way of conducting... Well, no, it's a way of conducting business, dare I say it. So then, when our site was originally hacked and went down completely, if you typed in the name of the person who'd hacked it, we were... Dum-de-dum was the number one result. So you then can imagine that actually then what goes on in the dark web is that you say, look, I can take down any website, and to prove it, you go, look, you type in my name and I appear on the web on a site which I've taken down. So we've just happened to have been, we're just collateral damage. Someone is showing off, showing off their skills, and they've taken down a legitimate site. So it's nothing, you know, it's not the people from Pennyhasset. They're just upset that we're being up Ambridge all the time. That's what's happening. It's just pure bad luck. But the thing is that how websites work. At least our website anyway, is that it's on a platform called WordPress, and then we have various plugins, and you constantly have to update your core WordPress code and then the plugins, because what these hackers do is they test the plugins and they test the various versions of WordPress, of the fundamental platform, to see where the holes are and the vulnerabilities, and then they exploit that. And what we are now having to do all the time is update every plugin with each time there's a new version that, gets released. And we can't afford to do that anymore. This is way beyond Jesse. What Jesse did before our techie, Jesse got the
way
site.
Way beyond Jesse.
It is.
Sorry, it's just like, well, it's like, sounds like a euphemism for something else. Oh my God, he is way beyond Jesse.
Jesse was brilliant, but what Jesse could do was, you know, I could look at the line of code and then see where there was a rogue bit of HTML. I could do that and take it off. And I was just doing it by sight. What Jesse could do was have everything in a database and then clean it much more systematically. What Jesse couldn't do is to determine which of the plugins and which bit of the WordPress code was most vulnerable to the attacks. So I cleaned it off initially, but I was missing bits of more insidious code. Jesse completely got rid of it and the site was up for 2 months. But what these guys do is they just keep pinging. So what they're doing is they're sending these little requests to websites, you know, all over the globe, and then they find a way in, spread the malicious code.
When I was doing this work with the client that was on the dark web,
ISIS,
the woman I was working with, Mrs. ISIS, said she said it's like somebody, a burglar, going to your house and trying all the doors and all the windows, exactly, and then they'll keep going to another neighborhood, and then in a month's time they'll come back to yours and try again and see if you've forgotten to lock it this time.
Yeah, no, that's perfect analogy. So what we hadn't done is figure out where exactly they'd come in, and they just came back and then bang. But this time Bluehost, our company that hosts us, just took us completely down. So whereas beforehand you actually,
well, it's not safe for them, is it?
No, exactly.
We've got the plague. We're marching all over there.
Well, it's exactly what
it's like. Said. Somebody comes to work when they're really, really ill and says, "Hello, a thought's come in and help," and you're like, "No, go away! You've just given it to everybody." Yes, that's us, covered in spots and scratching in the corner.
That is the reason why, folks, we're going to have to do this members only content, put it behind some kind of paywall, and it will be interviews with the actors. I know that over Christmas you had Terry and you had Tim. I think they're two really good shows, but we're going to have to get much more serious about the running costs of this whole thing.
Yeah,
because
serious faces on now, Dumpty Dumbers.
Exactly, not joking around. No.
We're not nice Dumpty Dum anymore. We're now nasty, mean.
No. We're grown up Dumpty Dum.
Yes.
We've been adult, yes. Lucy.
We're Dumpty Don't. That's what we are.
Well, whatever it is, what we are, is what we're going to have to do is pay Sitelock a shed load of money for at least
whatever
for the
it is
next.
We are, it's going to be expensive. That's what it is.
There you go. So. You've been dutifully warned, folks, and it's not because we're money-grabbing bastards. We do this thing for love, but love in and of itself is not keeping this whole show on the road. You know, that's the unpalatable economic
love
truth of it.
Love don't pay the rent, as Dolly Parton probably said.
Hmm. Right. Now, talking about money, there are two ways you can help keep our little show on the road.
That was a hell of a lynch.
You know, folks, now the site's back up. You can go on to a WDump and hit that donate button and throw us a few shekels. Or you can go to patreon.com and you can support us by giving us $2 per episode. And again, and I always did say this before, but however we actually do this, if you already regularly contribute to the show, we're not going to ask you to contribute again. You'll automatically will be upgraded to the members' feed. So all those people on Patreon, or there's about 10 or so people on PayPal that have created recurring payments, you will automatically be upgraded. So you don't have to worry that you're going to have to pay twice for that. Tractor. It's our way for you to meet other Dumdy Dummers and just, you know, commune with your fellow Archers fans. Go on to our site, dumdydum.com, click on that Tractor tab, if you haven't done so already, and pin yourself to the map. We'll talk more about clusters another time, but it's lovely to see that the people up there in the northeast decided, you know what, we're clustering. Let's meet up because we are.
Let's have a quick cluster while we've got a chance. Yeah,
absolutely. Keeping up the theme of remembering, folks, remember to get in contact. You can send a voice message via SpeakPipe on our site, which is now back up, or when the site is down, you can call us on 0203 031 3105. I tell you what, the money we're paying, it should never bloody be down again. Luce, you know what? You'd have been proud if you'd heard me on the phone to Bluehost yesterday. Because
were you haggling and bartering?
Well, no. I told them how it was, and I said, I'm not going to be bothered by SiteLock telling me that the site is up. Sorry, the site is clean of malware, than them telling me that it's not. I said, why the hell I have the, as the customer, have to be telling you that it's up when they very clearly tell me at the end of their email that they're going to ping you immediately so you can switch it on. I do not want to be bothered with this. I'm paying you enough money as my site host to keep my site up, and I'm paying them enough money as my cleaners of my site and to get rid of the hackerware and malware. So this is my Christmas and my New Year's is not going to be ruined by this one more time. Three times over Christmas, I got emails saying your site is now free of malware. You can be activated again. And I was not. I said, you speak to them, you Bluehost, you speak to them and tell them where they're going wrong and where the malware still is, and stop bothering me, because I spent an hour and a half on the phone on January the 1st waiting for someone to speak to me. And it was just an hour and a half too long as far as I was concerned. Anyway, the site's back up now, so
and Boyfriend got his big girl pants on, didn't he?
It was too much. It was just too much, you know. And just the guy at SiteLock as well was like, did we miss some of the code? That happens sometimes. I said, you know, that's just not good enough. You've got me into a six months agreement, paid money up front for this. For you to say that's what happens sometimes is not good enough. And he said, sir, you're absolutely right. I said, I know I'm right.
Stop patronizing me! I know I'm right! Do you know what? Once, I used to get all my... I used to use an organic delivery service, who shall remain nameless. Right. And... they employ a lot of Kiwis and Aussies to sit on the phones and do their customer service stuff.
Organic Kiwis?
Yeah. Oh. And that's why customer service is rubbish, because you were being answered by a piece of fruit. I left them a very... Because they'd, as so many of these companies were doing at the time, they'd switched to online ordering. And at the time, I was writing people's websites. I mean, doing the copy for... my whole order had gone wrong. It hadn't appeared. It was, and the login didn't work and the thing didn't work. And when you got on the site, it booted you off after 2 minutes. Just an absolute classic. We released this website way earlier than we should have done because we haven't actually beta tested it and all that stuff. And so I left them this fairly sort of grumpy email message, and I got the most charming answer phone message back from the world's most inept customer service person, But it was just brilliant. It was like he'd read everything that you're supposed to say as a customer service person and just decided not to say any of it. And it was lovely. So it went beep and I listened to the message. And there was this lovely New Zealander going, hi, is that Lucy? I'm ringing about the website. It's like, it's really, really hard doing a website. And he just carried on. He said, we've had like so many really, really annoyed people ringing us and we don't know what to do. It's like, we're really, really sorry. It's just awful. And in the end, I finished up ringing them back and offering to help to see if they could actually fix the problem and stop the website being really, really hard.
Yeah, it does sound remarkably like that dolt on the end of the phone at the site, like on Boxing Day. He was just a little bit too casual for my liking, Lucy. Do you know what I mean? Considering I've just given him 300 quid and there's more money yet to come. No, oh, really?
That was awful. Yes, it is awful!
Right, on that note... Oh, no, Twitter. We haven't got to the end of this at all.
Oh.
I'm going to talk about our technological woes. On social media, you can, specifically Twitter, you can find us where at WWME. I'm at Royfield. Harriet, the woman of a thousand archers' voices, is at Sandbridges.
And I am at Lucy V. Freeman.
On the Book of Face, if you quite simply go on to that network, you can just type in dum-dee-dum and you can find us there. You're very good at accents, but we've had this conversation before. It's another reason why you and Tim Bentinck would just be a match made in heaven.
I know, there are so many reasons, and yet he has yet to see this.
I think... we should. I'm going to affect a romantic introduction.
I've already met him.
Yeah, a romantic introduction.
Oh, I see. Okay. Hey, I just thought of something. Sorry if Derek offended anybody when he was got hold of the Twitter feed. But if you would ever like to ask Derek a question, you can do so on the Twitters. He's not allowed his own Twitter feed because he gets carried away. But we can answer on his behalf if you want, or we can hand him the controls for the time being, just to answer questions. If you have anything you'd like to ask Derek, you just have to use the hashtag Ask Derek.
Oh,
and at us, obviously.
That sounds very exciting. Right then.
Okay.
Have we done?
Yep, we have.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Mm.
Let's hope it's calmer than the last one. There's nothing left to happen, really. Everything's happened, so this is bound to be quieter. I'll go online now and found that the whole of Germany's blown up or something. Ah, right.
Done. Right. I've got to cook dinner for me mum and dad.